So what I want to do is get very basic and then move into the greater part of it, even to the extent that we haven't received yet. You know, we don't have it all yet.
Oh, no.
And we're moving in that way. But we won't know what we need until we're in that place where it is needed. There's going to be more, but we're going to have to be pressed in to situations before we'll call and even know what's needed. But we'll always have everything that God needs to do the job. Okay? So let's just start real basic with this. And that is, God created the earth. He created the universe, but he created the earth. Okay? He created dirt. He made man from dirt. He breathed into man. Man became a living soul. Even though the dirt wasn't consciously receiving, the dirt received the breath of God, and man became a living soul. Okay? And so the process begins. And then, of course, the angel Gabriel went to Mary and said, "You're going to be with child." And Mary had to receive that, "Be it unto me." And so she received actually the very spirit of Jesus Christ at that moment. Okay? And then we move on along. Jesus, of course, he's 30 years old now. He's been the Son of God all of this time, but he hasn't moved into ministry. He hasn't done any miracles. We know he was brilliant because he was sinless, so he would have had a sinless mind. He was the Son of God, but at the same time, he was the Son of Man. Okay? And he goes to John the Baptist and says, "I need to be baptized." And of course, John the Baptist said, "No, I need to be baptized of you." And Jesus said, "No, this has to be fulfilled." So, read Matthew 3:16. He said, "Let this be fulfilled then." And he was baptized in water, verse 16. And then he received the Holy Spirit. So Jesus himself, Son of Man, Son of God, was a receiver. It's important to know that. But he was Son of God before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit came upon him. Okay? So your verse 17 then, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" The confirmation. He's the Son of God, and Father is pleased. Now the Holy Spirit has come upon him. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. We know he passed all the tests. And it was good because as we going along, we also know that we'll never be tested above what we're able, but God will make a way of escape. It's what we receive from God that gives us the power to escape, whatever it is. It's what we receive from God that gives us the power to do what the Father's doing. So he said, "I do what I see my Father do." And he's very plain about it. John the 5th chapter. He said, "I'm not the one doing it. This is my Father's doing the work. It's his word doing the work. I have received of the Father and I'm giving away." So the important point is, he is the Son of God. Okay? He is the Son of God. But now he is filled with the Holy Spirit. He is baptized in the Holy Spirit, baptized in water, and then baptized in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 11:27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So now we have not only the receiving, but the giving out. What we're going to find as we proceed along with this teaching is that everything we have to give away is God's stuff.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
We don't have anything to give to people.
We don't.
Everything that I give away is what I receive. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay? So that's fun, isn't it? I mean, to me, I think that's fun to give away somebody else's stuff. And of course, the word humility, we've talked about it. The word humility comes from the word humus, which is dirt. And so how do we humble ourselves? Realizing that we're made of dirt. And everything that, even the dirt was made by God. It's God's dirt, it's God's breath, it's God's spirit, it's God's word, it's God's power, it's God's authority. There's absolutely nothing of us. Everything is of God.
Yeah.
It makes it easy then for us to humble ourselves when we realize that.
Yes.
Okay, Jesus, there in John 13:3, Jesus knowing that the Father had given, look what it says, all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. That was our study for the last couple of months back. Everything is from God or of God, through God, and to God. That makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? That's our whole Christian life.
Yes.
See, and we have nothing to fear. We will never come up short. We don't ever have to worry about being taken advantage of.
No.
We don't have to worry about being killed. Because you can't kill a dead man.
That's true.
You can't kill a dead man. We're dead. We're crucified with Christ. Resurrected to walk in newness of life. All we have is from him. Through him and to him. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus himself is the image of God, came from God. He is God.
Yes.
Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
When I greeted Bill a while ago, I said, Bill, I get to see you, but I get to see Jesus at the same time.
Isn't that awesome?
See? When I get to see all of you, I get to see Jesus. Because now you are the very image of God. We are created in the image of God. We are a new creation. That's what being born again is. See? Okay? I love this one. John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.
Yes.
So what's he said? I'm the door. I'm the pathway. I'm the way. Everything is coming and going through me. Everything going up to the Father is through me. Everything coming down from the Father is through me. And this is all going up and down. So long as the door is open and he's the door, then we're going to freely receive from the Father. Why? Because everything's been given to Jesus. See? And as I've said last couple of months, I don't want anything that isn't from God. If it doesn't have the fragrance of God on it, leave me out. I don't want it. You know, I don't care what it is. I don't want it unless it has God's blessing, God's fragrance yes. upon it. Because if it comes from God, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above. So if it's coming from Him, I'm guaranteed it's good. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So I am in Christ. Because I'm in Christ, I am blessed. And going all the way back to the beginning in Genesis, He said, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. So God is in the blessing business. If you don't want to be blessed, you better figure out some way to stop it, or you will be blessed. You don't have to beg for blessing. If you don't want blessing, reject God or go live in sin, or, you know, I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can figure out to get out of the blessing of God, but God's still in the blessing business. In other words, you don't have to get Him to start blessing, because that's already what He's doing. The only thing you can do is stop it, hinder it. John 13:20, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Now this is this multiplication of the receiving. See? It goes out person to person to person. It comes from the Father through the Son. We're receiving the Son, therefore we're receiving the Father. And now whoever receives us receives the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, understand how that... So that just comes and mushrooms out. And of course, there again, there's always that, you know, anybody can reject that wants to. That's, you know, that's what free will's all about. Anyone can reject. But that's not what we're interested in. We're interested in who wants to receive. I want to be sensitive to receivers.
Yes.
Now, you never know who that receiver is going to be, because sometimes they can be the most negative person against you. They can be your enemy. And in a moment of time, some kindness on your part, and all of a sudden that is broken, and they receive you, and you receive them. And the blessing then begins to multiply out from there. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God wants us to hunger, and He wants us to thirst, and He wants us to seek. The word seek here means to require by necessity. As long as we have alternatives, we will never seek to the extent that we need to. As long as we can say, I have enough, or we can say, I have it all. So often people who have had wonderful born-again experiences will say, well, I got it all. But there's a mentality. There is a psychological thing that goes on. And it's all over the world. Jesse and I get sometimes we talk about things, people, for instance, that make a good product. There are people that just get furious because a good product has been made. And they do everything they can to get it taken off of the market. Now let's compare that, for instance, to the millennium. When good or perfect or the better, won't be rejected. See, sometimes when I go somewhere and speak. But what if everyone in the world would be free to do their best? To do their best carpentry, to do their best as a mechanic, to do their best in medicine. You know, how many diseases would be cured if people were released to find a cure? How many people have come up with good things and been killed because they came up with good things? A good example of that, of course, is diesel. Mr. Diesel invented the diesel engine. And he was sure that the other people, other automobile makers and petroleum companies, would kill him. And so when he designed the diesel engine, he made sure to send it out to a lot of people so they couldn't kill everyone. He got on a ship to come to America and disappeared. Evidently, someone threw him overboard because nobody or anything. I mean, he was just there one day and the next day he wasn't. And he died. But he got the product out. There are people that are furious about anything being better than what they have. It's like, I don't want you doing better than I do. So I don't want you to receive more than what I have. Because I'm comfortable with what I have. I believe I'm doing the best and I have the best. And I don't talk to me about anything else. I had a Baptist preacher actually tell me, don't tell me about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, how come? He said, well, if you tell me, I'll be responsible. And I'll be judged by that. I said, you've heard too much. You already heard too much. You know, you're going to be held responsible. But there is this mentality, let's stay at this lower level. Let's, you know, if there's something better out there, don't tell me. Or if there's something better out there, let's kill them. Let's get rid of them. Let's persecute them. And let's get rid of them because we don't want better. We just want what we have and we want to think it's the best. Okay? So there's this mentality about receiving from God. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. That's for everyone who will ask and seek and knock. Okay, everything we do as Christians requires the manifest presence of God. There isn't anything out there that we can say, well, I can just do that in the natural. I can preach, I can evangelize, I can heal the sick, I can, you know. There's nothing out there. If it isn't the manifest presence of God, I don't want it. I don't want a Christianity without the power. Without all these little beautiful things. I mean, that's fun, isn't it? To me, it's fun. We serve a living God, and He's up to something all the time. Yes. And so we don't want to be involved in anything that's just a club or an organization. Everything I want to put energy into is where the activity of God, the manifest presence of God, is doing something. Hallelujah. Okay, Matthew 4:4. He answered and said, this is Jesus as he'd been tempted in the wilderness, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is how Jesus lived. He lived by every word proceeding from the Father. Now that's passed on to us. Everything I do, I'm not going to, you can't live by bread alone, but by every rhema, that is the exact word for the moment. Now as we get on into these manifestations, that each one has their gifting, and we need to move then in that gifting, and that has to be by the word of God. I was pastoring in Huntsville, Alabama. I had a guy coming, and he worked for Redstone Arsenal. He was an engineer for the government, but he was an evangelist because the evangelist lived inside of him. And so I'd go out on the street with him, and he just walked down the sidewalk, and he would evangelize. He would just stop people and talk to them. It was like somehow he connected with their spirit and their soul. And he could kind of hold them there until they were born again. And I thought, I love that. I want to do that. And so I'd follow him around and I'd watch what he would do and listen to what he would say, try to memorize. Well, he did, so I could do the same thing. You can't do it any more than you could follow Jesus around and learn how to heal. The problem is, Jesus never healed the same way twice. Why? Because man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding out of the mouth of God. You have to do according to, first of all, the gifting, and then be attentive to how the Father's doing it. You might be the best evangelist in the world, but if you tried to duplicate last week's ministry, or crusade or whatever, it wouldn't work, because you're back to religion again. But if you get that daily word, and then whatever you come up to in the day, you already have the word for it. It's that living word. Okay. Then for us. So the basic point here is salvation is for me. Salvation is for you. Okay. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, which we'll get to later, is really for others. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That means that you're giving away from yourself to someone else to bring them to Christ. Okay? But salvation is for us. I love Oswald Chambers' way of stating it about being born again. He said, unless something leaves heaven and enters you, you're not born again. So something has to leave heaven. We're born from above. Just assuredly, as Gabriel brought the Spirit of Jesus Christ, placed him in Mary's womb, so the Holy Spirit brings the Spirit of Jesus Christ, puts that Spirit in us when we're born again. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. It doesn't matter if you prayed a prayer. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how much you've read the Bible or anything else. Unless something left heaven and came into you, and that was by the Holy Spirit, but that is not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the Son of God for 30 years before he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming upon him. You've now been endued with power. And then he started the miracle ministry and all of these things. Okay? But the point being, he was the Son of God before that. He was the Son of God before he was endued with power. John 20, verse 22. This was now after the resurrection of Jesus. He'd been crucified, buried, resurrected. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now this was actually their born again experience. They couldn't be born again until the death, burial, and resurrection. And so he breathed on them. He's actually imparting his Spirit, just like when him and the Father made man out of dirt, breathed, and man became a living soul. Just like when Gabriel came to Mary, the Holy Spirit came up on her, and the Spirit of Jesus went in to Mary. So when Jesus breathed on them, that was their born-again experience. Okay? And we'll just kind of leave it there because we'll want to get to the other with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For if by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Okay? So when we are born again, we are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We've been made now one body, and we have the Spirit of Christ. "Where two or more gathered together in my name, I am right there in the midst of them." That doesn't mean he's coming and going and will show up sometimes. It just simply means that there's that connectivity. Yes. Of people coming together in his name. Body needs parts. And as the parts come together, doesn't matter if it's two, doesn't matter if it's 2,000 or 200,000, that's the body of Christ. And I taught you years ago, it's real neat between 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 6, because it talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you, as an individual, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So singular, singular. Okay, so you, singular, are the temple, singular, of the Holy Spirit. We move to 2 Corinthians 6, and ye, King James Version, you, plural, are the temple, singular. In the Greek, temple stays singular. It doesn't matter for 200,000, the temple is still singular, even though this is plural. Okay, so you then are the body of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because we have received from God the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay, John 1:12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." But as many as receive. So there's where the blockage is. You're witnessing to someone to be born again. And, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And for some, they would get real excited about that. And they said, well, if you believe, then you're in, you know. But that's not the case. You're not born again until you receive Him. Amen. You have to receive Him. Acts 10, 43. To Him, all the prophets witness that, through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sin. There again, it takes a receiving. The scripture says, whoever sins we forgive, they're forgiven. Have you ever tried to minister to someone who has sinned and they have been to the altar 20, 30, 40 times? I've even found it been 20 years that they've been going to the altar, confessing their sin, trying to get their sin dealt with. And I just presented to them real simple, have you received remission of sin? No one told me about that. Well then, in the name of Jesus, receive remission of sin, and boom, it's done. See, you can talk about, I want my sins gone, all you want. You can go and do all kind of things, but until you receive it, then you don't get it. And what happens is, people say, well, you said I got it, but I don't feel like it, you know. And so we have to keep encouraging them. Oh no, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. But the problem is, it's not gone. Because they haven't received remission of their sin. Once they've received the remission of sin, and later on we'll get into this, or maybe I can just go ahead and do it now. But so often when I'm trying to pray for people for the baptism and the Holy Spirit, and I sense there's a blockage, and sometimes it's like, well, if you'll just explain more to them. No, explaining doesn't help anything. We need to get to the root of the problem. What is the blockage? And so I just plain out ask them, have you sinned? And maybe you've even asked for forgiveness, but you don't feel like it's gone? Is it still tormenting you, still haunting you? Well, yes, there is this, and then they'll tell me what it is. I say, okay, let's deal with it now. And I want you to receive remission of that sin. And immediately they'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And speaking in tongues, I mean, it's just immediate. And of course, we've done the same thing, for instance, with Masonic rings. And we'll say, well, now why don't you take that ring off? I mean, we tried everything and there's a blockage. Take that ring off, but ask Jesus to forgive you. Repent of that thing, but receive God's remission from sin. And immediately they'll begin to speak in tongues. They'll receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So don't leave them be. Even I've been in situations where, you know, where they pray for people and they touch them on the forehead and they fall down. And I know there's the real of that. Except I'm always wondering why they fall backward when all of God's people always fell forward and the enemy always fell backward. If you're not the enemy, I don't know why you fall backward. You know, I never have got that. But people learn things. And pretty soon as you touch them, they're down. But what is their life like? Let's say that's on a Sunday evening. Is their life changed on Monday morning? If their life isn't changed, then something didn't happen that should have happened.
That's right.
And so I'll yank them back up off of the floor and say, no, we're not done. We're not done till we get to the root of this thing. You're not going to escape by playing like you're spiritual and falling down on the floor. If it isn't the manifest presence of God, stay away from it. See, we don't need carnality. We don't need carnal Christians. There's plenty of power available. We need to move in that power. So don't let people get by faking it out, saying I'm okay when they're not okay. And you can always tell, and I know I've taught you this, that if people stop at some point and won't go further, we need to find out why that is. So we need to find out. But what I always do when there's a blockage is I try to bring them to the next step up. For instance, I was ministering at the Berean Baptist Church, and I had invited a whole bunch of the young people. It was an outdoor meeting. And I said, now those of you that want the baptism in the Holy Spirit, why don't you go on up and go in the church, and I'll be up there in a little bit. So I ministered down here for a while, and then I went on up, and I was praying for different ones, and there was this one deacon's daughter that was there, and I began to talk to her about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and she was kind and you know, listening, and I started praying for her, and I could just tell there was a resistance. You know, I thought, I wonder what the problem is. And pretty soon she looked up at me and she said, Wayne, would you mind if I got saved first? I need to be born again. Well, see, she didn't know that she needed to be born again until I presented something beyond her reach.
Yes.
She couldn't get to the second until she'd been through the first. And so we need to be sure if they're locked up, just go ahead. Or if they say, yeah, I have all of that, that's fine with me. I mean, because I always want conversation. So that's, I got it all when I got saved. Oh, well, that's good. Well, then let's go on to the next thing. See, and they can't move on because they haven't been through the first thing. So in our ministry, we need wisdom in these areas. So being born again and then filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Have you ever wondered why people sometimes are born again, but they never get out of the, I'm just a sinner saved by grace? And it's like they don't want to go any further. They never really even get over their sin. It's like, oh, I'm glad I'm born again. I just keep on sinning. You don't have to keep on sinning. You can actually reign in life. But all of us know people who aren't reigning in life. They're stalled out. And they're stalled out because they haven't gone through the full process of what God is wanting to do in their life. Even just the fullness of salvation, not even considering the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They're not receiving the full benefit of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because someone has said, this is all you need to do. And so they do that, and they, okay, I'm done. Sign the contract, and I'm off to heaven someday. But they're not reigning in life. They're not defeating the devil. They're not defeating sin. And they're not doing the kingdom work of putting out the gospel and sharing the gospel. Okay, 1 John 5. It's one of my favorite verses, as you well know. And this is the testimony, that evidence, that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who possesses the Son has that life. And he who does not possess the Son of God does not have that life. Okay, so he who receives the Son receives the life. Now, the gospel itself says, if you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. If something hasn't come from above and entered you, you don't have eternal life. The contract is between Jesus and the Father. It's a blood covenant, unbreakable blood covenant. And of course, what's beautiful for me is that I've read this in the Baptist journals. I've read this in the Assemblies of God and Pentecostal journals, that they have people who have searched the scripture and they all come to this one conclusion. If you have the Son, you have eternal life. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. Okay, so Romans 8:32 then says, he who did not spare his Son, spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now that isn't, we think all things, okay, a new car, a new house, new, no, this is everything of heaven. Every good and every perfect gift coming down from above. Everything that God has. But you have to receive what is being given. Okay, now we want to move into the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and which we said is what God gives us for others. Okay, so that we can be a blessing, a benefit, first of all, in our own home, in our own church, in our own community, reaching out to the lost and dying world, even to the extent of loving our enemies, is what God is giving us then to make a difference around us. You don't need the baptism in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. You don't need the baptism in the Holy Spirit to be born again. The fact is, you don't need the baptism in the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, to evangelize, because we understand gifting. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. The particular Greek word that Paul wrote there meant gifts of himself. In other words, Jesus gave himself to men. So he gave himself, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. That is Jesus segmenting himself for the purpose of ministry. So a person can be an apostle and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but have the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the apostle, inside of him, and he'll do a great job as an apostle. And the same goes for prophet. The same goes for evangelism. There's been tremendous evangelists out there that didn't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they did a great job only because Jesus Christ, the evangelist, was inside of them. Great shepherds, great pastors that don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and yet they've done a great job with great anointing and great teachers who don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, would they do better if they had the power? And the answer is absolutely yes. But they don't know that. They don't realize that. As one man of God said, to explain it to them, for me to go to a pastor or an evangelist, he said it would be like a frog trying to explain to a tadpole what dry is. The tadpole doesn't know. Now the frog has been a tadpole, so he knows what wet is. But now he knows what dry is, and so he can freely talk about the two. What I've seen is teachers trying to teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit who haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they can talk a lot, but their words are hollow because they haven't experienced. It'd be like trying to go to a surgeon who has studied his whole life to be a surgeon but's never done surgery. And he can explain everything to you, how it all works. But would you go to that surgeon? Probably not. Yeah. Now, my dad was a carpenter my whole life. And as a kid growing up, my dad, there was no electricity. And so Dad did everything with a saw and a plane and chisels. But he did beautiful, beautiful work. And he could do it all without electricity. But when he had the opportunity to move closer to town, about 40 miles from where we were at the log cabin, because there wasn't even electricity anywhere near us. But when he moved into town, he bought electric tools. Why? Because he could do beautiful work faster. Point being here, character before power. Now God will give power to anyone who seeks Him, even if they are of bad character. But would you give a young person who can't even ride a tricycle without running into something, or a bicycle without tearing the thing up, would you buy him a Lamborghini and say, have at it? Lots of power. I remember there was this fella that he was in the military, and he was in a drawing. There was a contest and a drawing, and he won a brand new Corvette. And he was so proud of this Corvette. But he was tired, but he still wanted to drive all the way home to Texas from the East Coast to show off his new Corvette. And so he checks out of the base, heads home, wrecks his Corvette, and it kills him. Wonderful power. But he didn't have good sense. Now, sometimes when we're praying for people, we need to discern. Lay hands on no man suddenly. Peter sensed that Simon in Samaria, who wanted to buy the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gift of praying so he could pray for people so they would get the gift. Peter said, your money perish with you. Sometimes we need, as individuals, now God will give them the Holy Spirit. But as individuals doing the ministry, sometimes we need wisdom to know who to lay hands on and who not to. Now, within a church, and of course Jesse and I have pastored churches and that had the baptism and the Holy Spirit, and for me personally, I found that a good mixture was better than having everyone baptized in the Holy Spirit. There were people who would do things in the church that didn't have the baptism and the Holy Spirit, but loved Jesus with all their heart. But a lot of times that was more natural things. But they still, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. And they did beautiful, where people who had the baptism in the Holy Spirit may be standing around with their arms folded and wouldn't lift a finger to help. But when I needed to send them off to do spiritual ministry, I couldn't send the others because they didn't have the power. These people had the power. So the good mixture, to me, works better for a body. Paul said, do all speak in tongues? And because he doesn't answer it, but the obvious answer was no. Do you want everybody speaking in tongues? Can everyone speak in tongues? Absolutely, yes. Everyone who asks will receive. Can you, everyone receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Yes. But will they use the power properly? That's the question. So character precedes and character outweighs power.
Yes.
But God wants you to have both character and power. But character outweighs power. If you have to make a decision between the two, go for character. Mm-hmm. Because character is more important than power. Okay, Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your, what's it say, good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The more of the Holy Spirit we have, the more we receive, then the greater the light is going to be. For me, actually, the more time that I spend praying in tongues actually increases the light. I can actually tell as I'm walking among people how they are affected by that light, and it goes right back to the amount of time that I've been gone into the closet, shut the door, pray to my Father in secret, pray in tongues, and then the effect of that as I go out, it makes a difference. So we want to make that difference. Spending that time being filled with the greater portion of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to go back to the salvation side of it just for a second. Can we receive a greater measure of the Spirit of Jesus Christ? It says, of the Holy Spirit, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? In the Amplified Bible, it says, to those who ask and keep on asking, to those who knock and keep on knocking. Now my question is, can we, we've been born from above, can we receive a greater measure of the Spirit of Jesus Christ than what we have, right? Can we receive more character? And of course the answer is yes. Paul said, pray for me that I will have a greater measure of the Spirit of Christ. He wasn't saying more power. He said, I need more of the Spirit, more of the character, more of this image of Jesus Christ in me. I need more of the image of Jesus Christ. You need more of the image of Jesus Christ. But I also need more power. So I don't want the power to outweigh the image. Understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But that's where growth comes in.
That's growth. And we won't develop that character until problems come. It's in the midst of problems that we develop this character, that we receive more of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then as we get in the middle of the needs of people, then we would need more of the power. Okay? My prayer before I come here today is, Father, anoint me according to their need and give me more than what they need, whether it be of the Spirit of Jesus Christ or more of the Holy Spirit. You see, and I see this all the way from God breathing into dirt all the way through salvation, the baptism, and the Holy Spirit. I don't see it as segmented things. I see it all as one thing. It's all one thing. So we don't break off, okay, I have this, I guess that's enough. We never do that with anything else, do we? The other day, Jess and I eat pretty skimpy. Most of the time.
Sometimes.
But the other day, I just really got hungry for steak. And I was thinking, well, I'm just going to go buy a real nice steak. I went to the store and I bought a couple of really nice porterhouse steaks. And I looked through all of them to be sure they had the nice filet and grilled them on the grill to perfection. And they had fresh asparagus in the store. It was just like fresh out of the garden. Ooh, it was good. And so we get all of this fixed up. And so I sit down to the table and I think, now how much of this is necessary? Can I actually eat this sliver of steak and say I have eaten steak for supper? Absolutely not. I ate the whole thing. I want to know how much is available. How much can I receive? Not how much is necessary. Well, we don't treat life like that. So Luke 24:49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Tarry until you are endued with power. It's like, well, if God wants to put it on me, he'll put it on me. No, it's time to receive, repent and be baptized, Peter said, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. You'll receive. And so I tell them that, and they say, okay, I receive. And instantly, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. They could have done that 25 years ago. Well, we don't tell them that there's a point of receiving. All they heard was to tarry. So here they are 50 years down the road, they're still tarrying in Jerusalem when they should be endued with power out helping. You know, I run into this all the time in praying for people for the baptism and the Holy Spirit. Well, if God wanted me to have it, he'd give it to me. No, it's already offered. You have to receive both salvation and the baptism and the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. See, because as we go on, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Receive the best gifts. Keep praying. Keep praying. There's better gifts. There's more power. There's more of Jesus. There's more of the Holy Spirit. When I read that scripture, it says the Father gave Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit without measure. I'm not there. See? What if we saw this as bigger than we think it is? What if we saw it as being greater than we thought it was? What if there's more available than what we think there is? Point being, we can't even imagine what God has in store for these end times.
As God has promised.
We cannot even imagine how God is going to use us in these end times.